Amen. Good to see everybody today. Amen. Good to see you here. Amen. Appreciate you coming for Sunday school and being here for Memorial Day Sunday. And I'm just glad to be here. Amen. I told my wife, I was early this morning getting up, but just anxious to be here and studying through the lesson and everything. And I got to see the doctor on Tuesday and got to take those stupid stockings off Tuesday too. They've been on since I had the surgery, compression things, and I took those things, peeled them off. I thought I was just going to have to cut them off with scissors or something, but it felt good to get them off. And but he did not fully release me yet, and he said he wasn't going to release me for another 2 or 3 weeks. And I told him, I said, but I've already told everybody I'm going to be there on Sunday the 26th. He said, I wouldn't recommend you doing that, not recommend you standing. And I told him, I said, well, we got a chair. I could sit in the chair. And he looks over at my wife, and my wife goes like this, you know. He said, you can try it. You can try it and see how it's doing. So I'm here today, and I'm looking forward to being here. So that's why I'm doing it down here, so I can be able to, I can't stand the whole time yet. But I can sit down if I need to and still be able to not climb Mount Everest back here right now. So, but it is good to see everybody. I want to thank everybody, too. I just want to say again, thank you for the cards and the text and the calls and everything. I got a stack of cards about like that sitting on the counter. And I keep going back through them and looking at all that. I'm just thinking to myself, man, just to know you got folks love you and praying for you. And I'm just so thankful for it. So thankful for it today. I thought today, with it being Memorial Day Sunday, it's a special day. And the McKeels had their 45th wedding anniversary. It's today. It's actually today. And so they are giving us all these donuts. And I wanted to remind everybody today, make sure you get at least one, maybe two, because Bill didn't want to take them home and Kathy eat them all in front of him, okay? And so, but I appreciate them doing that for us today for our class and everything like that, and I appreciate you getting to be here. Today with the other lessons we've been having, I appreciate the men who have come in and stood in here for me. Brother Horner, and Brother Comstock and Pastor Comstock Sr. Covering the classes for us and just doing all they did to help me out. I just want to say how much I appreciate it. And I've had this lesson ready to teach. I was going to try to teach it before I left out. But we're in the lesson series about the true story of the New Testament. The true story of the New Testament. And today is going to be lesson number 5. It's going to be lesson number 5. I'm going to sit down here just a minute. Yeah, the nurse is telling me. You're a good one to tell me, all right? Yeah, at least you can't chase me. But I want you to look at this lesson today. This lesson is tremendous. And I can tell you right now, the lesson is going to be at least 2 Sundays, okay? It may be more than that. I don't know. But we are looking at the second part of the book of Acts. And here in this second part of the book of Acts, we're going to be going from chapter 13 all the way through chapter 28. And not today, but we're going to start there. But this lesson today, we looked, if you'll remember, and again, it's hard for me to go back and cover this because it's over a month ago that I taught that last lesson. And I've missed the whole month of May, basically being here. But today, being the 26th of May, I want us to look at the start of this lesson. And it's entitled, The Church to the Ends of the Earth. The Church to the Ends of the Earth. And I don't have this verse written in here, but I want you to turn with me today as we're going to look at the book of Acts. I want you to turn with me back over to the book of 2 Peter just a moment. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And in 2 Peter chapter number 3, I want you to look at verse number 9. This lesson, as we're looking at the lesson, let me get my act here together. This is a little bit less space than what I have up there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible said this. It said, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we're going to see in this lesson, starting with the lesson today, how the Holy Spirit of God, He empowered the early church saints. He gave them boldness. He gave them a desire in their heart to... Somebody set their alarm off. But He gave them the power and the boldness to take the message of the gospel to all the ends of the earth. And it started right there in Jerusalem where they were. Now, we see here how that He began to do this for one purpose. And that was so that all the world could know what Christ had come to do. And folks, today, let me tell you, that's what our world needs today. Our world needs to know what Christ came to do for them. And the amazing thing is that in every situation that you read through the book of Acts, where there are lost people, we looked at it in chapter 10 with Cornelius. We're going to look at it through the rest of the chapters with other people. There were people that wanted to know what they had to do to be saved. They wanted to know what they had to do to be right with God, but they didn't know. And in every situation where there was a lost soul that was hungering to know the truth of God's Word, God had either one or more of His faithful servants there, or at least willing to go there and to share the message of the gospel with them. And when I went through this, and I was reading back through this whole chapter again, the very first thought that came through my mind was this: who will I share the message of the gospel with today? Who am I going to share the message of the gospel with this week? And as we look at this thing, this lesson series, you know, sometimes God simply instructed a saint to go, like it was with Philip. God sent Philip down to the desert of Gaza. And for one man was sitting in a chariot reading the Word of God and wanted to know more about it, and God saw that. And you know, that lets us know that God is, He's still concerned for the individuals. God cares for the individual. And God sent Philip there for one man reading the Scriptures. There are other times when you look over in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9 where God allowed persecution to come. He allowed persecution to come to the church and to those who had trusted Christ and put their faith in God. He allowed persecution to come to scatter them out. And they didn't do like most people here do today. Most people here, well, if they get a little persecution, they just stop serving the Lord. Oh, I'm not going back out knocking on doors and telling anybody because they slammed the door in my face. That is nothing compared to what these people had to go through. But everywhere these people went, they took the message of the gospel with them. I'm going to stand back up just a minute. I can sit for a while and I can stand for a while. But they took the message of the gospel with them. And they shared it everywhere they went. And to me, to see them empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to do what they did amazes me, because that same Holy Spirit that dwelt in them is the same one that dwells in you and me today. Amen. And He gives us the power. He gives us the boldness to be able to take that same message to all that are lost. And so as we go through this thing, I want you to see how the Holy Spirit of God would speak to the saints of God, whether they were persecuted, whether they were needed to just go and tell one person or a group of people about the Word of God. I want you to see how God did this and how He used that local church to go out and perform the responsibility that He has given to each of us today as born-again believers. He has given us that responsibility, that duty, that privilege of taking the message to all the ends of the earth. If you'll remember back in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, when Jesus told the disciples what He wanted them to do, He said, number one, I want you to receive power. You can't go in your own strength. And folks, listen to me. We can't do this in our own power. We will never reach the world with the gospel in our own power and strength. We'll never do it. We've got to have the power of God in us. We've got to have His boldness. But He said, but after the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And as you read the book of Acts, you get to see how that God performed that deed with these folks that willingly submitted themselves to the Lord. And so I praise God for those faithful servants. And I praise Him for the fact that they were willing to do what God had saved them to do. And my challenge to you, God's challenge to me, is to be responsible. Be a responsible Christian, a born-again child of God that is willing to take that message. Be willing, first of all, to be filled with the power of God, that we might be the witnesses for Him that He wants us to be. Now, I want us to look at this. God shows us just how important this was. And I want you to look at this lesson today. It's entitled, again, The Church to the Ends of the Earth. I want you to look here, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 13. I'm going to look here at some other verses previous to that. But I want you to look at this first missionary journey. The first missionary journey. God had given His church, that born-again group of saints of God, that group of people that had accepted Christ as their Savior, He gave them the responsibility to take the message of God to all the ends of the earth, starting right there in Jerusalem where they were, and then going into Samaria, Judea, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And beginning here in Acts chapter 13 and going down through Acts chapter 14, verses 28, we see that first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We see where that God took this man who before had put the saints of God to death. Now you think about this. This man had papers in his hand to go and bind up those of that way. That way. What way was it? The way of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way to go to heaven. And any that was trusting in that way, he had the authority, he had the documentation, he had whatever he needed to be able to go and to put them in jail, to cause them to blaspheme, to put them to death, to speak against them. And God took a man like that and saved his eternal soul and gave him a job to do. Now, if God could do that for him, what could God do with you and me today? Amen? What could God do with us? So I want us to look today at this church at Antioch. Now, I want us to go back here just a minute. Let's go back a little bit here to Acts chapter 12, verse 24. I want you to see this. The Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 12, verse 24, it tells how that the Word of God grew and it multiplied. The Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that makes the difference in our lives. It's the Word of God that made a difference in my life. It's the Word of God that made a difference in your life. And when you heard that message of the gospel, it touched your heart and you got saved. And God was doing a great work in the hearts and the lives of these people. He was helping them that wanted to be able to hear and those that didn't know anything about it. He took the message to them and gave them the opportunity to hear the message that changed lives for all eternity. And as we look at this thing, not only were the Jews hearing the message of the gospel, but now Gentiles, you and me, folks like you and me, were hearing the message of the gospel. They were coming to Christ all because somebody had been willing to go and tell them of God's great love and mercy. And that's why Peter wrote there in 2 Peter that God is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He wants everybody to be saved, folks. And I think that's the picture we got to get in our minds today. God wants everybody to be able to hear the message of the gospel and be saved. But He needs people like you, people like me, to be willing to take that message of the gospel to them. Now, here in the church at Antioch of Syria, God began to deal with hearts again. He began to deal with people, and He began to show them His love for them. You know, when my wife, I love, and I've still got a lot of them. I don't know if I got them all, but I got a bunch of those little love notes that my wife used to send to me. And I'm hoping she's got some of the ones I sent to her. I don't know. But I like to look back through them and just read them again, okay? As I was reading the Word of God this past week and just thinking about how much God loved me and how He was willing to take me, a little bus kid, and save my soul and one day call me to preach His Word, man, I can't get over that. I just can't get over the fact. I want us to look back. I said Acts chapter 12, but let's go back to Acts chapter 11 just a minute. We got to get the whole thing here. Acts chapter 11, we're going to start in verse number 19. Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. The Bible said, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen," you remember they stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel, "they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them." Isn't it great to know that you're never alone? Amen. The hand of God is with you whenever you go and you try to tell somebody about Jesus. The Bible said that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. They were first called the Christians, Christ-like, in Antioch. Now, I personally believe with all my heart, there are a lot of the people there that did not believe the message. There were many that did. But there were many others that mocked and made fun and ridiculed, like they do today. But you know what? They call them Christians as a derogatory remark. "Oh, you're like that Christ we've heard about. Oh, here's a Christian." But you know what? Listen to me. They were so like Christ. They were displaying the love of Christ for anybody and everybody. And now, after a year of being with the people and teaching them the Word of God, we see the results. And what were the results? These Jews, these Gentiles that come to Christ, They're no longer living for self, but they're living for Christ. And even though they may have been made fun of and called names and things like that, they were taken note of that they had been with Jesus. And I believe in my heart that's why they were first called Christians in Antioch. They were so like Christ. They were trying to do what God had saved them to do. And that was to get the message of the gospel to those that were lost. Now look at it. In Acts chapter 13 now. We're going to go to Acts chapter 13. First three verses here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered unto the Lord, and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them, and they sent them away. Now, even the cars shout and praise his name. Amen. Isn't that good? Hey, God can raise up rocks. We can raise up little Toyotas or whatever they are. Amen. They sing praises unto the Lord. Now, God was using that local church. And God was using that church that he had birthed into existence for what purpose? The purpose was to go out and do the work that God had saved them to do. And now, they were going both in Jerusalem, they were in Judea, they're in Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and this is what makes the local church like this one so very important in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Listen, this is why the devil is setting up so much compromise in the local churches. He's setting up compromise. He's trying to set up obstacles to get us sidetracked and get us away from doing what we ought to be doing. Listen, our emphasis is not on building a great big building and all these other big things and having a concert and all these other. That's not what he saved us to do. He saved us to take the message of the gospel to those that are lost. And here that church was doing it. It's the local church that God used. Honda Odyssey van, it's got a handicap sticker on it. Anybody? No? Okay. But it's that local church that God has used all these years. And that's why the church is important today. That's why we do what we do today. That's why we support all the missionaries and all the ministries that we have here to go out everywhere, locally and ultimately to all the world. And here, they were doing this. Now, beginning in Acts chapter 13, we looked at this, and as God, the Holy Spirit, sends these men out, okay, they were called of God. Listen, they were not called, they were not mama called and daddy sent preachers, okay? They were called by the power of God. God's hand was upon them. And now we come to verses 4 and 5, and we see the field of Cyprus. You remember what Jesus told the disciples there in Matthew, book of Matthew chapter 9? He said, look, just open up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Everybody wants to brag about having a great big church and all this stuff. Listen, that's not where the blessing's at. The blessing is where we're reaching the world. The world needs to hear the message of the gospel. So here, the Bible said, beginning in verse number 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I want you to take note of that. It wasn't just a denominational thing. Listen, it wasn't just something they felt they ought to just do. But they had the power of God upon them. And they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. And they departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. Number one, they went to where the people were anxious to hear something from the Word of God. You're here today because you want to hear something from the Word of God. There were people that went to those synagogues that were looking for a hope, looking for comfort, looking for strength, looking for something that they couldn't find in the world. And folks, that's why people come to church. They come to hear the message of the Word of God for a reason. And here, the Bible said, verse number 4, when they were there, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. So the people were anxious to hear something from God. But number 2, after leaving Salamis, they went on to Paphos. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 12, it talks about there how that they, when they preached the Word of God, and God did His work there, that the devil was also there. The devil and his crowd were there as well. And listen to me today. The devil is going to do nothing but try to disrupt and distract people from hearing the message of the gospel. We see that all the time. When you go out and go soul winning, you see it all the time. When you're trying to tell folks about the Lord, the devil has got somebody there to disrupt the whole picture. But here in these verses, and I'm not going to take time to read them. You can read that today. But God gave boldness and strength to the men of God to stand against the opposition that they were given of spirit and truth. The devil opposes the spirit, the attitude of trying to tell folks about Christ, and he opposes truth. He opposes truth. The devil doesn't want folks to know truth. And in Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 12. The Bible said that then the deputy, when he saw what was done, and this sorcerer was made blind, remember? And God did that because he was trying to keep this man from hearing the Word of God. When the deputy saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Amen. Man, he got saved. Yeah. Why? Because he knew that what Paul and Barnabas and all these other men of God were preaching was truth. That's what's going to make the difference in people's lives. Cyprus had been a fertile ground in which to take the message of the gospel. It was a fertile area. People wanted to hear truth. They wanted to know what was going on. But God had given even more areas for these men of God to travel and to take the gospel into. So I want you to see now, not only did we see the field of Cyprus, but now we see the work in Asia Minor. Look at this. These folks went into Asia Minor. Beginning here in verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. God had been blessing with souls being saved. And you know what? When I read this again, they preached the Word of God, and the Word of God fell upon fertile soil. It fell upon all kinds of hearts, just like it does today. You have some people that will sit and listen. You'll have some people that will turn away and walk away. You'll have folks that will mock and ridicule and make fun of those that try to give out the message of the gospel. But the fertile soil was there. And God began to bless with souls being saved. And not only had it been difficult, but as you read in the previous verses, it had been spiritually challenging. Listen, when you read there in Acts chapter 13 about this sorcerer, okay, that comes out, and they know he's working for the devil. They know that he's doing the devil's bidding. They know that the devil is trying to do all that they can do, that he can do to stop the message of the Word of God to be given to people. John Mark, okay, that went with them, this is a nephew, I think it was, of Barnabas, he got scared. And folks, let me tell you something. When you go into areas, I've been in areas where they have these witches and warlocks and stuff and things like that. We got a guy walking down the streets of Westminster now, and he's got other folks now following him. And they have these witches' coven things and these things where they're out here loving on trees and things like that and casting spells on our city. Folks, the devil is real. He's real. But listen to me. The power of the gospel is real as well. And these men preached the gospel. And as God gave Paul and Barnabas boldness, to proclaim the word of God, God blessed with souls being saved. You can read this, Acts chapter 13, beginning here in verse 14 and going all the way down to verse 41. Now, I want us to start here in verse 42. Acts chapter 13, verse 42, the Bible says, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue. Now, think about this a minute. When the Jews had gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, listen, you preached unto them this week. Would you preach to us next week? And what did Paul and Barnabas say? Well, let me check my schedule. No, they didn't do that. They said, we'll be back. And look what happened. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Man, the word of God made the difference. And look what the Bible said. As God blessed, the devil disrupted. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Now he's talking to the Jews. But seeing ye put from you, you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now let me stop right there just a minute. I want to stop right there just a moment because there's a group of people today that teach, oh, there's just a certain number of people that's been ordained to be saved. Oh, there's only a certain crowd that God wants to be saved. The rest of them, he wants to send them to hell. Let me get you to turn back again to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And I want you to one more time read what God's word said. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men, as some religious cults, as some religious denominations, okay? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men think that God is slack on those things. Some folks don't think that God can save everybody. But isn't it strange how that those that are saying things like that, they're always ones that are saved. Listen, if God can save them, he can save you, he can save me, he can save anybody. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that how many? Any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. Let me say something. That all that should be saved and come to repentance is the same all that God speaks of in Romans chapter 3 where he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the same all that have sinned and come short are the same all that God wants to be saved. And God is saying here in his word, as many as were ordained or came to know Christ as their Savior, they believed, they received eternal life. And look at this, and the word of God was published throughout all the region. All the region. But folks, again, wherever God blesses, the devil distresses. And he gets upset because he doesn't want anybody to hear the message. He doesn't want anybody to be saved. So look at verses 50 through 52. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Notice this, they started with the women. They started with the women. You know what that tells me? Now you listen to me, I'm going to tell you the facts. That tells me that the devil has not changed his plan since the Garden of Eden. You know why the devil went to the woman in the Garden of Eden? Because she was not there when God told Adam, don't eat of this fruit. She had not yet been made. She was trusting by faith the words that her husband had told her. She was believing by faith. The devil wants you to destroy the faith. You know what, men? You and I are supposed to be the leaders in our homes. And ladies, listen. You are the ones that support that husband. I tell this to a lot of couples when they think about getting married. And I tell the ladies, ladies, you will either be the completer of that man that God wants you to be, or you'll be his finisher. It's either one or the other. Can't be both. And the devil stirred up these women to go home and complain to the husbands and complain in their homes and complain. And the first episode of the Jerusalem Housewives was put on the air, okay? And they complained, and they caused all kinds of problems. These were good women. They were devout women. Look what the Bible said. They were devout. They were honorable. But they tried to stir them up. Why? Because they didn't want the message of truth being proclaimed. Listen, don't allow the devil to use you to be a complainer. Get in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God. And look what the Bible said. He didn't just stop with those devout and honorable women, but they went to the chief men of the city. And they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. And Paul and Barnabas just gave up and went back home. Is that what it said?
No.
Look what the Bible said. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to see how that when the devil closed a door in one area, God said, that's all right. Hey, you've done what I said do here. Many people have heard the message of the gospel. They've gotten saved. Now I'm going to send you somewhere else. And God opened up another door to preach the message of the gospel. And the Bible said that when the unbelieving Jews expelled them out of their coasts, they just got up and they said, that's all right, no problem. You don't want us to be here? God's got another place, because God's got a lot of people out here that still need to hear the message of the gospel. Don't you be discouraged when that neighbor or somebody in your workplace or whatever doesn't want to hear the gospel. There are others out there that do want to hear the gospel. But God's got to use you to see that, to put a burden in your heart. And you know what I believe? I believe this gave these men a new burden for the lost, because they knew the consequences. If those people didn't accept Christ as their Savior, they're going to spend eternity separated from God in hell. So you know what? It kept them motivated to go and tell others about Christ. And that's what it ought to do for you and for me today. Listen, when folks turn the gospel away, when folks make fun of the truth of the Word of God, when folks want to just cause all kinds of disturbances, it ought to make us want to go and tell even more people about Christ, because if they get saved, they won't do that anymore. They'll be different. So now we get to Acts chapter 14. And the Bible said, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of what? Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. They got there and they preached the message, and more people believed. But again, the devil's doing his best. And look at verse number 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Again, God is blessing and the devil is cursing. God is blessing and the devil is cursing. So what happens? What do these men do? Look at verses 3 through 7. They hunkered down and they said, you know what? We're going to do it anyway. We're going to just keep on going. And look what he said. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. It did not deter them from preaching the gospel. I've heard people say, well, our church is in a bad neighborhood now. We need to move our church. Listen, down south, it was like that. Man, there was a church on every corner. And when they'd get a church built up and they'd have people moving into that area, and maybe they weren't the nicest people in the area to be there, churches would get up and they'd say, well, we're afraid they're going to break in and steal our sound system. Oh, they're going to steal gas out of our buses down here. We're going to have to move our church to a safer place. They forgot what they needed to do. They needed to go out there and win those folks to Christ. And you know what? They wouldn't have had an unsafe place. These men said, hey, you know what? We're going to go and we're going to do what God said to do. And look at this. They came back to Antioch of Syria. In verses 25 through 28, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. What did they do? They came back home and they told them all that God had done. Some of the folks are coming in this morning. I've been gone a month. A month. A month of Thursdays I've not been here. Okay? For soul winning. And man, folks are coming in. Let me tell you what God did this past week. Miss Kathy was telling me about a little girl she led to Christ. What, about fifth grade, I think you said, something like that? Little girl about fifth grade got saved. She came over there and got saved. And they went, she said, I got some friends. And she said, Kathy said, well, can we go and tell them? Yeah, come on. And that little girl went and got all of her friends over there and said, hey, you need to come and listen to this lady. She's got something to tell you. And how many got saved? Four more got saved because of one little girl. Listen, that's what was happening here. Now we come to that part of the Jerusalem Council. And man, I don't think I'm going to have time to get into this, but I want to tell you what it's about, okay? All right? I got to tell you that. We're going to go to Acts chapter 15. Here, Paul and Barnabas had been traveling through Asia Minor. They'd been out there for about 2.5 years now, okay? About 2.5 years, they've been preaching the gospel. They've been enduring the afflictions. They've been enduring the difficulties that the devil had thrown before them. But they had stayed faithful to reach the lost. They'd remained faithful to do what God had saved them to do. And now as they return home to their sending church, they're coming back home to tell folks what God has been doing. They'd spend another 3 years here sharing their experiences and trying to encourage others to take the message of the gospel to those that are lost. So now we come to Acts chapter 15, verse number 1, and we read of what was now happening back home in the church. Some things had happened back home. I want you to look at it, verse number 1. And certain men came down from Judea. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Unless you follow the law and do all the commandments. I had a lady one time that told me she went to a church that taught that it was the grace of God plus works. They had to fulfill the law that Moses commanded. And they said, you know, after all, the Old Testament still is in the Bible. And I said, yeah, but that's why it's called the Old Testament. It's not the New Testament that Jesus spoke of, that he came to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled all the Old Covenant. Oh, no, 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 no. We still have to do everything that the law said. And I looked at her with an honest face. And I said, so which Did you offer a lamb this week? Which sacrifice did you give this past week? What do you mean? I said, well, if you're going to fulfill the law, you got to fulfill it all. It's either all of grace or it's all of the law. Which is it? Can't be both. And you know what, folks? We need to remember what the gospel is all about. Listen, when we get saved by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the finished work of Calvary. Then we are to live for God. We're to serve Him. Our lives should be different. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that is not to be saved, but that is because we are now saved. We're saved through faith. And these men came in teaching them and said, listen, these folks really aren't saved. Why, they're not obeying the law of Moses. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. And there rose up dissension within the church. There rose up problems within the church. But thank God, look at what it said in verse number 2. When therefore Paul and Silas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. They said, all right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go back up here. We're going to get this straightened out. And we're going to find out who's telling the truth. And next week, if you'll come back, I'll tell you the rest of that story, okay? All right? I'm going to stop it right there. I told you there's no way to get all this in. Good night. I want you to understand something, folks. God sent His church out that He might bring the lost in. In where? Into heaven. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And folks, this is why God has saved us. This is our duty. This is our responsibility to take the message to the lost. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, as we see how that You worked in this early church, oh God, help us never to forget the job that we're to do. Lord, we're not to be so much concerned as far as building a great big church. That's not our work. That's Your work. You said that You would build Your church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. God, our job is to take the message to everyone, everywhere, no matter what they look like, no matter how much money they got, no matter what their position in this world. Everybody needs to hear the message in order to be saved. And I pray, dear God, today that You'll take this lesson. Help us, Lord, to apply to our hearts and help us, Lord, to be responsible for reaching the world with the gospel before it's eternally too late for them. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You today. Thank You, Lord, for letting me be back. And thank You, Lord, for this crowd of folks that are here today. We love them. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being in class today. Thank you for loving me and praying for me, okay? Good to see you.